Let's open up the Bibles again at Luke chapter 24. It'd be good to follow along. Don't know about you, but I'm nice and warm in here at the moment. So do stay awake and let's keep focused. So Luke 24, Bible. Well, as British people, we love to talk about the weather, don't we? It's our national pastime. And I was contemplating, why might that be? Why do we so love to talk about the weather? And I'm suggesting perhaps it's because our weather is so changeable, especially demonstrated over the last few weeks, hasn't it? So one day you can get sunburnt, the next day you're freezing, and it's actually snowed a few times, I think, this week. Surprising weather. I guess it wouldn't be so fascinating if every morning you woke up and it was just the same. Oh, another warm day. Oh, another warm day. You wouldn't have much to say, would you? But us British, we've got lots to say about the weather because it impacts our plans. You think you're going to go out and do some gardening and then it rains and you think, oh dear, that wasn't forecast. Or you're going to go for a run and you think, well, I can't now. It's freezing. It's cold. It's raining. It's icy. You think you're going to have a picnic or a barbecue and the weather changes your plans. But not only does the weather change and impact our plans, it actually impacts our mood as well, doesn't it? So you wake up and it's cold, it's drizzly, it's miserable, and you go, oh, and you start the day on a bit of a downer. Other days you wake up, the sun shines and it's warm and you just feel invigorated and you think, oh, what a lovely day. I feel like I could do anything until, of course, it rains later. But, you know, it's lovely that the weather impacts our day and so we talk about it. But as Christians, there is another kind of son who we should love to talk about. He is the Son of God. And actually, our view of this son will change everything too. It will change what we do. It will change how we act. It will change our understanding of the world. It changes our understanding of life and death. In fact, our understanding of the Son of God impacts our very mood as well. And that's who we're thinking about today. How when the Son of God shines into our lives, he changes everything. He changes everything. That's what these two disciples desperately needed as they were walking along the road. Because at that moment, they are blind to Jesus. And that's our first point, blind to Jesus. This is the last in our series, our Easter series, and our passage takes place still on Resurrection Day. So you need to get your minds whirring back to last Sunday, Resurrection Day, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. But these disciples, they haven't actually got it yet. They've heard the reports from the women claiming Jesus was alive, but they don't believe. They're not convinced. It's not real to them. They don't know what to think. So who are these disciples? Little is known about them. It's been suggested they could be a husband and wife. Or they could just be two mates, two disciples walking along the road. We know the name of one of them from verse 18, Cleopas. It's likely that at least one of them lived in Emmaus, and that's why they were heading there. But what's sad about these two disciples is they have lost their hope. Look at verse 21. We had hoped. Past tense, we had hoped. Now they don't know what to think. And then when Jesus comes and asks them, what are you talking about? They look sad and glum, downcast. Their conversation isn't a hope-filled conversation. It's anything but. So what are they talking about? Well, as they've left Jerusalem, no doubt they were talking about all that had happened. That would have covered Jesus' betrayal, his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion. And then, of course, what these women had come and reported to them, how the body was gone. And it's good to walk, isn't it? I think many of us have been reminded about how good it is to walk over this lockdown months and years even. Of course, you can have too much of a good thing. And you think, oh, another walk. Oh, I don't really want to. Maybe you feel walked out now, but walking is good, especially if you're having a conversation. It just helps the conversation to flow. And this walk they're on, it would have been around 2 or 2.5 hours. So they've got a good chance to talk about these things. Good time for discussion. And then Jesus, of course, he comes, he catches them up, and he skillfully enters their conversation and draws out of them not only what they're talking about, but what they understand about what they're talking about. So he says, what are you talking about? Of course, there's only one possible subject for the conversation. It's a bit like over this weekend, isn't it? With the sad death of Prince Philip. If you turn on the news, especially Radio 2, it's just been on there all the time. I found it really depressing, actually. It's just one sad song after another. There's no hope there, is there? There's a real sense of grieving, and quite rightly so. But of course, if Prince Philip had been our personal friend, if he'd been part of our family, then what else would we be talking about right now? That would be it, wouldn't it? As a nation, we're talking about it. But if he'd been a friend of ours, we would just be talking about him. And so it is here. This is all there is to talk about. These two disciples, they're just talking about Jesus and all the events that have happened, all that's gone on. And Jesus wants to draw out of them, what do you understand by these things? So he says in verse 19, what things? And their reply is revealing. It shows us their understanding about the situation. So they reveal who they think Jesus was. Verse 19, he was a man who was, not anymore, who was a mighty prophet indeed and word before God and all the people. Verse 21, how they had hoped he would redeem Israel. He was the hope of Israel. He was their hope. They thought he was going to come in and restore Israel to its former glory. They had hoped he was the Messiah. But now, and then, they share how now even his body is missing. And there's talk of him being alive, but they haven't seen him. What a mess. Could it get any worse? So they're sad, aren't they? Their hopes have been dashed, and so they're leaving Jerusalem. They're leaving the rest of the disciples. However long they've invested in following Jesus, what a waste that was. Whatever hopes they had for the future, it's over, and so they're going home. It's done. It's over. What of their nation? Just like the bad old days, the religious leaders of their day have murdered God's prophet. It's what they always used to do. And if they haven't learned, they're still doing it. They've just done it. They've murdered God's prophet. And so with him, perhaps Israel's last hope is dashed. Do you see how depressing? How hopeless their conversation is. And actually, if Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, they would be absolutely right, wouldn't they? A world where Jesus remains dead is hopeless. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. If our faith is in vain, if our preaching is in vain, then what a waste of time. What are we doing here? Why are we wasting our time on a Sunday meeting together if Jesus didn't really rise from the dead? How depressing. And to think that the world really is just chaotic, it really is out of control. Suddenly, perhaps we get a glimpse of how people without Jesus feel about the world, how hopeless their situation is. If our only hope is mankind, if our only hope is just luck and hoping things are going to kind of turn out for good, then, you know, how depressing is that? If we don't believe there is a sovereign God at work behind the scenes, making sense of our pain and heartbreak, then how meaningless our lives are. How do people cope? I guess that's why they turn to all sorts of things to fill their lives, to give themselves something to hold on to. You know, that people turn to drugs and drink, pleasure, shopping, entertainment, computer games, all those things, because we want a buzz, don't we? We want something to look forward to, something to sedate ourselves to the horrible cold truth that we live and then we die. And without Jesus, there is no hope. This is the hopeless cold reality if Jesus did not rise from the dead. And as Paul says in Corinthians, well, if that's true, we might as well just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I bet you're glad you came to church now, aren't you? But this is the road the disciples are beginning to walk down. The road of no hope. And yet, Jesus isn't dead. Jesus did rise to life again. And unbeknown to these disciples, he's actually with them at this very moment. But they're blind to him. They haven't recognized him. They don't see him. They don't understand. And so that earns them a rebuke from Jesus because they should have known better. But they were currently blind to Jesus, but Jesus was going to show them himself through the scriptures. And that's our second point, seeing Jesus, seeing Jesus. I wonder what some of the most memorable and happy times of your life have been. I wonder if you can think back, remembering those highlights, perhaps. Maybe they're times when your family has got together and you just remember that with real happiness. Maybe it was your wedding day. Maybe that was a difficult day for you. I don't know, but maybe it was a highlight of your life. Hopefully it was. Maybe it was, if you've had children, maybe it was the day your children were born. Maybe it's a day you look back and think, wow, what a special day that was. We can look back on those highlights in our life and we can cherish them. We can think, oh, that was a really special time. In lockdown, to be honest, even just going to Tesco's was a special time for me. I used to look forward to it. You know, it's like, wow, an adventure. We're going to Tesco's. We're going out. And we used to sort of walk around the aisles going, yes, this is amazing. This is fantastic. You know, a highlight of our week. But having a Bible study or listening to a sermon, perhaps those aren't the things that make it to the top 10 highlights of our lives. And yet I think for these disciples, as they listened to Jesus, as he opened the scriptures to them, they wouldn't have wanted to be anywhere else. It was thrilling. This was a moment they would look back on and think, oh, that was so special. And I would love this to be the case for us at North Bradley Baptist Church. That by God's Spirit, as we look into God's Word, that we are thrilled by it. That as we discover more about Jesus, there are times that we think, these are precious times. I don't want to be anywhere else. Where would I rather be than be meeting with God's people and studying the Scriptures? By God's Spirit, he can bring the word of God alive to us, even now as we study it, even today, perhaps, as we read them together. For these disciples, they've been kept from recognizing Jesus. Did you notice that? They were kept from recognizing him. I think that suggests that this was something that's been done to them, perhaps a supernatural concealing of Jesus at this point. It's hard to understand precisely what was going on, but it seems to me that the Lord himself kept them from recognizing it. Why would that be the case? We're not told, but at a guess, I'd suggest perhaps two reasons. So firstly, because if they'd immediately recognized Jesus, I think they would have been so excited to see Jesus that they wouldn't have listened, they wouldn't have heard to everything he had to tell them. They would have just been like, you are alive, this is amazing, fantastic, you know. It's like that, isn't it? As adults and children, if it snows outside, we get excited and we can't concentrate, don't we? You know, or something happens and it's hard to concentrate. If Jesus had actually just appeared to them and they'd recognized him, they would have been good for nothing. Secondly, I think physically, seeing Jesus wasn't going to be the norm from now on. This wasn't going to be how they were going to see Jesus from this point on. This was extra special. And so Jesus is now opening their eyes to the fact they can see him in the scriptures. That was how they were going to see him from now on. And so I suspect that this is a kind of acted out parable. So right now, their lack of physical comprehension mirrors their lack of spiritual comprehension. They don't understand. They don't see him. So they don't understand physically. They don't see him. And so Jesus is going to start by opening their spiritual eyes, by showing them the truths from the Old Testament and how they point to him. I would have loved to have listened in to what Jesus said. This would have been a Bible study like no other, wouldn't it? This would have been a study by the master. We're not told which portions of scripture he goes to. Just in general, it sort of speaks there. But in verse 26, it tells us how Jesus was proving from the scripture that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer. So that seems to be the theme for his study, how it was necessary for the Christ to suffer. He could have gone anywhere in the Old Testament. Maybe he went to Genesis chapter 3:15. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Perhaps he spoke about how Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac and then God provided the sacrifice there. Or maybe he went to the Passover and explained the symbolism. The Passover was slain, the blood painted on the doors, the angel of death passed over and didn't carry out judgment on Israel, but on Egypt. Maybe he spoke about the sacrifices in Leviticus and showed how they had to be spotless, how they had to be consumed, how they had to have the blood poured out. Maybe he spoke about Moses and how Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness and how that pointed to how Jesus was going to be lifted up. There's all sorts of places he could have shown them. Maybe he turned them to the Psalms. Well, he did turn them to the Psalms. Maybe he turned them to Psalm 22 and showed how David had predicted so much of what Jesus had to go through. Surely he would have taken them to Isaiah 53, showing them how he would needed to be wounded for our transgressions, how the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. I mean, it's all there, isn't it? Many places Jesus could have spoken from. In fact, it says in verse 27, how Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself. By the way, that's the right way to read our Old Testaments, isn't it? Of course, the Old Testament, it's set in history. It does have a specific historic primary reading, and we need to understand that. But in all of scripture, in one way or another, it also points forward and is fulfilled to in some way in Christ. That is its ultimate fulfillment. It helps us understand the Old Testament. It helps us understand why Jesus needed to come. It adds the depth, the background, the context to Jesus and his ministry. So the old gives the context to the new. That's why so many New Testament authors quote from the old. It's not an isolation. It comes out of the new, the old. The old is fulfilled in the new. The new is what was anticipated, what was illustrated, what was promised. Jesus said as much in John 5:39. He said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." So Jesus is saying the Old Testament, it bear witnesses about me. It's talking about me. And this is what Philip said when they just discovered Jesus. He said in John chapter 1:45, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So let's not neglect our Old Testament because it shows us Jesus. And when you read your Old Testament, it's always good to have in mind to think, well, what's this telling me about Jesus? Well, how does this point to Jesus? Is there some contrast here? What's this telling me about Christ? And we see, as Jesus spoke in verse 32, their hearts were burning. They were seeing and understanding more about Jesus as he spoke to them, understanding about his mission, about why he had to suffer. It was beginning to make sense to them. And for us who live 2,000 years later, this is how we see Jesus too. And we've got even more, haven't we? We've got the New Testament to explain it, to make it really clear to us. So although we don't have Jesus with us physically teaching us, we do have his Holy Spirit. Who inspired his word, and the Holy Spirit brings his word to life. He helps us understand. He enables us to see what we would not otherwise see. I don't know about you, but I find it thrilling when I see something new in God's word. You know, when I'm studying it's thrilling when you find a new truth, when you see something more about Jesus, when you see something with fresh eyes, and you go, oh, that's really good. And it doesn't it? Did you get excited by this? Gets the heart beating when we see Jesus in the scriptures. Well, Jesus had been with them for most of their walk. Must have been one of the highlights of their life as they look back on this and thought, yeah, I remember how Jesus taught us in the scriptures. And the moment they would have looked back on with great joy and wished it had gone on forever. But it wasn't going to go on forever. They were approaching Emmaus. Their walk was coming to the end, and so was their Bible study, their walk through the scripture. But they're not ready for it to end. They want this to go on. There's just something about this guy that they want him to stay with them. And so beyond the point of politeness, it was the right thing to do to say, will you come in, will you stay with us? But beyond that point of politeness, they're saying, stay with us, please. They're begging, stay with us. And that was a reasonable, polite thing to do because you didn't travel at night in those days. It was dangerous. You could be attacked by robbers. You could be attacked by wild animals. There were no street lights. So you're walking along and you only had the moonlight, and you could easily fall down a hole or walk off the edge of a cliff. You just didn't know where you were going. So you didn't generally travel at night. But their main emphasis here is please stay with us. And Jesus decided to stay. He's happy to have fellowship with those who want him. I think some of the trouble with us is we're just quite keen to read the scriptures and shut them, aren't we, and move on with our lives. We don't really want Jesus to spend so much time with us. How quickly we want to get through our church services and our reading of the word. But they don't want this to be over. They're spiritual eyes. Their hearts have been opened. They want Jesus to come in. So they open their home to Jesus. Come in. Have fellowship with us. Have you opened your heart to Jesus? I wonder. Do you want him to come in and eat with you? And so Jesus is in their home, and it's as Jesus breaks the bread that their physical eyes are opened. Perhaps it was something in the way he broke the bread. They would have seen that many times. Perhaps as he did it, they caught sight of those nail-scarred hands. Or perhaps it was just Jesus has shown them what he wants to show them. They've seen him now in the scriptures. And to illustrate what they've seen, to authenticate what they've seen, now he opens their physical eyes and they can see him. And then he's gone. But now everything has changed. Because they've seen him, everything has changed. And our last point is they are excited by Jesus. Sorry to go back to the weather, but I'm sure you've all known those days when it starts off cold and miserable and grey, but then the sun comes out And the coats come off, the hats come off, maybe even the jumper too. And everything just seems to change, doesn't it, as the sun comes out. And of course, it's even better now because we can spend the rest of the day exclaiming to each other, "Whoa, I can't believe it. Did you see how it was this morning? And now look at it. Isn't it wonderful?" And we've got our whole day's worth of small talk just to share with each other. It's wonderful. The sun coming out, it changes everything. And for these two disciples, everything has changed. They were walking away from Jerusalem, but now they just leave their food and they walk back towards Jerusalem. Despite the darkness, it doesn't matter about the darkness, they're going to go back to Jerusalem. They've left the other disciples there, but now they go back to the other disciples. They left and their hopes were dashed. They were miserable. Now they've got hope. Their hope burns brighter than ever. They left thinking that they had lost Jesus, that it was all over. But now Jesus has found them and their hearts are set on fire. Their grief has been turned to joy. God and his plans have not been frustrated. Rather, God's plans of redemption are in full motion. They're in full swing and they're still in full swing today. Their lives following Jesus has not been a waste. It's not been a waste. It's not all finished. It's not all over because Jesus is alive. How different their return journey must have been. And now they knew the important news of Jesus. They can't keep it to themselves. There were brothers still in confusion, still not knowing. They had to share this good news of Jesus. They couldn't just spend the night at home and then go. They had to do it right now. I bet their 2.5-hour journey was rather quick on the way back than it was on the way there. Because they've got a new spring in their step. What is it? It's because they believe beyond a doubt that Jesus is alive. And it changes everything. Changed everything that night. And when they get there, when they finally get back to Jerusalem, they were expecting to be the ones breaking the big news. You can imagine them thinking, "Right, this is going to be awesome. We're going to go in there, knock, knock, go in. They're going to tell the disciples that we've seen Jesus. It's all true." But in verse 34, the Lord had already appeared to Simon Peter, and those disciples already knew. Talk about having your thunder stolen. But no matter, they got to share their good news too, and they were encouraging each other. And if we were to continue reading, we'd see how this just gets bigger and better as Jesus himself comes into that very room. I was like, wow, it's building and building and building, and then Jesus is there. I'm sure, I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have been there to see this happening, to see Jesus face to face. But you know, one day we will see Jesus face to face. This is a reality. You will see Jesus face to face. But until then, you can see Jesus in the scriptures. We can know him in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we can know, like Job from the Old Testament, we can have that confidence that we can be sure that our Redeemer lives. And where even though we die, are we ourselves with these eyes, I will see my Redeemer. So this truth, this resurrection, it changes everything. Things are not out of control. Things are not hopeless. Things are not futile. Your faith is not in vain. It's not a waste of time to follow Jesus. God's plan is bang on track. He is making all things new. And one day the risen Lord will return. He will gather us to be with him. And so your faith, your hope, your service, it is all worth it. It is worth it. That's how Paul finishes that amazing chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, a chapter on Jesus' resurrection. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Jesus' resurrection proves our labor, our faith, our hope, our following Jesus is not in vain. He lives. And all he said is true. And one day we shall see him face to face. Are you excited about Jesus? excited? We should be, because he lives. He truly lives. He is alive now. And by his Spirit, he is with us now. And that changes everything. Well, let's actually celebrate. We're going to go straight on to our song, and then we'll move on to other things in our service. We're going to join in a response. So we can't really sing aloud here in the service, but we'll be singing loudly in our hearts, hopefully. So we'll join with this song called Living Hope. It might be a new one to some of us, but hopefully the words are helpful for us. So we'll stand when we hear the music.